9 million, Maya.
Pulse water.
I've got hot water already.
Oh, you're covered. Got,
yeah, yeah, I'm good.
That's Rebecca.
He has.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Jana Balava Giri Manodari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Jana Balava Giri Manodari. Yasoda Nandanam Braja Janna Ranjanam Yasoda Nandanam Braja Janna Ranjanam Jamunatira Banachari Ajamunatira Banachari Ajaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Balava Giri Banachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Jana Balava Giri Manodari Aja Sora Nandana Praja Jana Ranjana Oja Suranandana Praja Janna Ranjana Oja Suranandana Praja Janna Ranjana Oja Munatira Banachari Oja Munatira Banachari O Jaya Radhe Shyam, Radhe Shyam, Radhe Shyam, Jaya Radhe Shyam. Jaya Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Nitya Leela Plavista Astatara Sisi Siman is the divine grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Kija Premsakoho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Shigaradhar Shivasana Gaura Bhaktivinoda Sisi Radha Shama Sundar Gopa Gopinath Shama Kundarada Kundi Gira Gaurana Ki Jai Sri Krishna Janmastami Ki Jai Granthara Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Gaura Premanandi All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today, on this most auspicious occasion of Shri Krishna Janmashtami, we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 8, text 33, chapter entitled The Prayers of Queen Kunti. I'm going to chant the verse, and then we'll ask only three or four people from the men and three or four people from the ladies to chant so that we don't go on too long with this. Apare Vasudevasya Devakyam Achito Bhagat Ajastvam Asyashemaya Vadhaya Cha Suradvishan Apare Vasudevasya Devakyam Achito Bhagat Ajastvam Asya Shemaya Vadaya Cha Suravdvisam. Please chant. Ladies, Apare, others, Vasudevasya, of Vasudev, Devakyam, of Devaki, Achitta, being prayed for, Abhagyat, took birth, Aja, unborn, Tvam, you are, Asya, of him, Shemaya, for the good, Vadhaya, for the purpose of killing, Cha, and Suradisham, of those who are envious of the demigods. Translation. Others say that since both Vasudev and Devaki prayed for you, you have taken your birth as their son. Undoubtedly, you are unborn, yet you take your birth for their welfare and to kill those who are envious of the demigods. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is also said that Vasudeva and Devaki, in their previous birth as Sutapa and Prishni underwent a severe type of penance to get the Lord as their son. And as a result of such austerities, the Lord appeared as their son. It is already declared in the Bhagavad Gita that the Lord appears for the welfare of all people of the world and to vanquish the asuras, or the materialistic atheist. Om Ajnana Tamadandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chaksuhun Manitam Yatasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangumlam Jayate Girim Yakripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinitarino Vanchakopatirubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bahebacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Shikadadha Shivasiri Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. My only constant companion, my only friend, my guru, my wealth, that which has delivered me, my great fortune, and the source of my good luck, the form through which I taste pleasure, my obeisances to you, O Srimad Bhagavatam. I offer my respectful obeisances to you, O Srimad Bhagavatam. By your recitation, one attains transcendental bliss because your syllables shower pure love of God. You are to be served by everyone, always, for you are an incarnation of Lord Krishna. I offer my obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the invincible Lord Sri Krishna. Simply by meditating upon his lotus feet, I have been able to study and appreciate this great literature, Srimad Bhagavatam. So I've been asked to speak on this Janmashtami by the request of the devotees. But to be honest, what can a conditioned neophyte devotee such as myself speak about on such an exalted event? But it is our duty to Srila Prabhupada for the purification of our own heart and to make some feeble attempts to explain perhaps a drop of the ocean of the glories of the Lord. This is a very interesting concept if we can fix our mind on it, the ocean. And we have that famous example Srila Prabhupada gives of the Dr. Frog, as he's called in this, you know, trying to imagine the ocean. You know, he has only very limited understanding, but he's trying to understand the ocean. So we actually can appreciate the ocean. We have our common sense, and we've been there and seen how vast it is. So if we understand that ocean to be the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just imagine a drop of that. Now, Prabhupada has already explained to us that a drop of the salt water and the vast ocean itself are of the same quality. So if we even get a drop of the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we're greatly benefited by that. So this is our purpose as followers of Srila Prabhupada, to try and get that drop. Maybe a little more if we're able, but at least to get that drop from the ocean of the glories of the Lord. So actually, as we know, Krishna is unborn, Aja. But here we're reading how Aja, the unborn, has taken his birth. They call this in English language a conundrum. It appears, but it's not. So how can... or as Prabhupada calls it, vidambanam, bewilderment. That even sometimes the devotees become bewildered. And what bewilders the devotees is the amazing, unlimited pastimes of the Lord that we simply can't put into categories. Now, this particular understanding has been very detailedly explained in this eighth chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam by Queen Kunti herself. This chapter, aside from being one of my own favorites in the Bhagavatam, has been spoken on several times over the years by Srila Prabhupada. Most famously in a series of lectures in 1972 in Los Angeles, and then again in 1974 in Sridham Mayapur. And there are so many wonderful points that Prabhupada makes throughout this series of lectures. It's so vast and so intriguing that an actual separate book was made of it. We all know this separate volume Prayers of Queen Kunti. This was published, and we used to distribute this very widely. And this is just an indication of how important this particular chapter is. Anyway, Queen Kunti herself explains this vidambanam, speculation or bewilderment, as she calls it. And she says, how many different types of bewilderments are there connected with the Lord's actual identity, with his actual activities? Somebody says that Krishna is Yadava, Yadavaya, Madhavaya, Keshavaya, Namaha. Very, very wonderful, wonderful bhajan that Srila Prabhupada does. And if you don't have that, you should go home and download it, put it on whatever your medium is, listen to it off your phone, listen to it in your car, listen to it when you wake up. Very wonderful bhajan. That series of bhajans that Srila Prabhupada did are so, so sweet. You just go straight to the heart. So Yadavaya, Madhavaya, Keshavaya, Namaha. Yadava means he was born in the Yadu dynasty. Now someone else says, no, Krishna is Vasudev, the son of Vasudev and Devaki. And then someone else says, no, Krishna is Nandakumara, the son of Nanda Maharaj. And so Krishna has all these different identities. And these identities are associated with his devotees. But actually, as it mentions here, he's Aja. Aja Twamasya Shemaya. He's completely unborn. But he has all these ways that he's appearing and interacting and exchanging with the devotees according to their desires, according to their wishes. Now, of course, the impersonalist, we don't know so much from impersonalists until we come to Krishna consciousness. Well, as a matter of fact, we are impersonal pretty much until we've come to Krishna consciousness. I remember, you know, in the early days of my spiritual sojourn, you know, taking up this path and that path with no understanding of God or his name or his identity. And the impersonalists, they say, no, God has no name. God has no form. Specifically, God has no name. And in that sense, they're right. God has no set name. But he has many names according to his activities, according to his relationship, according to the needs of his devotees. This Nrisinga name, you know, this is a very interesting incarnation, Nrisingadev, because it's the only incarnation that comes for one devotee. Comes to Prahlad Prahlad Maharaj. So all of these different circumstances the Lord appears in. When he acts as the chariot driver of Arjuna, he's Partha Sarathi. When he plays as the child of Mother Jasoda, he's Jasoda Nandana. People say he's born from Nanda Maharaj's family, so he becomes Nanda Nandana. And they say that he came from Vasudev and Devaki, Devaki Nandana. So all of these different identities from the Yadu dynasty, so Yadava. And in this way, Krishna's pastimes, his activities, his unlimited names become his glory. So he has no name, but yet he's glorified by all of the names he has when they are in relationship to his devotees, when they are in relationship to his activities with his devotees. Brahma Samhita gives us that famous verse, Advaitam Achutam Anadam and Antarupam. Very, very unlimited. So many different types of rupams, forms. Here's the thing, though. Krishna has unlimited number of devotees. I mean, just here. I mean, and this is just a fraction of the devotees we have in our community. When it's prasadam time, we'll see a lot more. Of course, in fairness, they're all listening at home on the internet. One of the glories of this horrible Kali Yuga that we live in, you know, some devotees are not able to make it to the temple for this circumstance or that circumstance. So they have the opportunity, through the mercy of our Damodar Prabhu here, setting up the camera and sound system and Prangovinda running all of this. And so all these devotees, and God forbid something's not connected, Prangovinda is getting 5 phone calls from my wife.
And so many other devotees in the community. But this is the thing. Krishna has these unlimited devotees. And he has to satisfy every one of these devotees. Now, we in our particular responsibilities as a householder man or a householder woman, we have to satisfy all the members of the household. We have to satisfy the husband and wife. We have to satisfy the children. If you live in a suburban area, you have to satisfy the neighbors by keeping your lawn proper, you know, all these different things that we have to satisfy. You know, we have so many obligations like that. Yet in these obligations, Krishna is not in any anxiety, or it doesn't cause him any difficulty. Prabhupada gives that wonderful story of the a husband who comes home to multiple different wives. One pulls his arm this way, one pulls his arm that way, one pulls something to smell, you know, pulling in, you know, massaging, all these different directions. It is very difficult. How to, you know, what do I do? This isn't Krishna's manner of dealing with unlimited devotees. Very easy. And he does it, here again, by all of his different names. As we mentioned, Nanda Kumar, Jasoda Nandana, Vasudev, Yadava Parthasarathi, all these different names. Now, to some, this will be a bit bewildering. I have an associate where I work, a new person that just came on, and his proper name is one thing. But some people call him another thing, and he says, I go by this. So, okay, which name am I supposed to call you? Just tell me, and I'll call you that. So what to speak of Krishna? Unlimited names. But Krishna answers to all of them. You know, we only answer to four or five names. Some of the names we refuse to answer to. But Krishna answers to all the names because those names are in relation to his pastimes with his devotees. And this is Krishna's real pleasure. This is why Krishna comes. Also, to do away with the demons, but he comes to please his devotees, to save his devotees. But because he has to act unlimitedly, this is why he has the unlimited names, because they describe the unlimited activities and the unlimited relationships. There's no limit. Everything about Krishna is unlimited. Yet, everything is summarized in this one word, Krishna. It means all attractive. He draws the attention and attraction of Vasudeva. He draws the attraction of the Yadavas. He draws the attraction of Arjuna. He draws the attraction of everyone, all devotees in this one name. So many names in there according to the relationships with that particular devotee. But the Krishna name, everyone is attracted by that, because in that name is embraced all of the wonderful qualities of Krishna. Now, today, our attention is drawn to the beautiful Sringar Seva of our Pujaris here in New Ramanreti. And we see that the Lord is just unlimitedly attractive. Here he has taken the name Shyam Sundar. And that Shyam Sundar personality is drawing all of our attraction. Everyone is crowding at the curtain before it opens just to see, oh, I want that first glimpse of the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that each and every name of Krishna is as powerful as any other name of Krishna. So if we're addressed in a way by our children, that carries a different type of potency than when we're addressed by our wife, than when we're addressed by our associates at work. So in this way, Krishna doesn't have that restriction. Every one of his names has the full potency because God is absolute. And therefore, there's no difference between his name, his forms, his pastimes. They're all equal. Now, in our situation, there's so many differences between what we say, what we do, where we go, how we behave, all these different things like that. But in Krishna, there's no difference in any of these things. Yet, I think I speak for all of us. We can openly admit that here we're a little partial to his form of Shyam Sundar. Looking so beautiful. So many flowers. The moon locket. Some of you may know what the moon locket is, the moon locket he's wearing today. So in this way, we see that Krishna is so extremely attractive. Now, another thing that Kunti does in this pastime, in this particular chapter, is she's presenting the characteristics of Krishna. So we not only have Krishna's name, we have his quality and form, we have his characteristics. He's transcendental. Purusham Prakriti Param. He is the Purusha. He's the topmost enjoyer. He's the topmost personality. Some of us have had the opportunity of serving Shamsundar and removing his clothes in the evening. And, wow, it's pretty heavy. And I don't mean heavy in the esoteric sense. I mean a lot of weight. Just to wear a flower garland. I mean, I've got this very beautiful garland, it's Mahaprasadam. It's a little light, and it matches. It's a little light, but you know, you look at this garland, and then if you're fortunate enough to be given that garland, oh my goodness, it's so heavy. So he's the topmost problem for him, thinks. Now, although he appears in this world is the world of Prakriti, he is nonetheless Param, above and beyond influence of our case. It's in this world is complete to the tea overing us. Forced into that. But Krishna, he's above. It says, of course, in the Bhagavad, fourth chapter. Who knows that verse? Somebody knows that verse? Can chant it? Our sloka waller here. Janma karma to me divyam. Actually, we often say that Bhagavad Gita is the ABCs of Krishna consciousness. And it's true. Everything we need to know is there in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita as it is. Now you can read other Bhagavad Gitas, and many of us, of course, had before coming to shelter. In the Bhagavad Gita as it is, everything is there. So this verse, Janma Karma Chame Divyam, fourth chapter, verse 9. This means his birth, his activities, all of it's very transcendental. It's not material. Our birth, completely mundane. Just the pain that the mother experiences in giving birth, and the shock that the child has coming out of the womb into this world, and all of the just the difficulties associated with that, that is not transcendental. It's completely material. But as Kunti says here, he is Purusham Prakriti Param. He is the person beyond the material nature. This is what we want when we're looking to improve ourselves. When we're looking to move forward, when we're looking to expand our knowledge, we want someone beyond ourselves. You don't want to learn from somebody who's in the same spot you are. You're both struggling to figure out geometry. It just doesn't make sense. I mean, it never made any sense to me. What's that little meme you see? Yes, another year has gone by, and I have successfully never used geometry. So, you know, all of these things, you know, we don't want someone on our level. We want someone more advanced than us. This is why we've taken shelter of Srila Prabhupada. We want someone to give us that understanding that's not in this world, that's not limited, that's beyond. So, of course, Krishna is beyond the material nature because he is the Purusha. He's not a created being. He's not of this material nature, although he was within the material nature. He can step into it, but he's not influenced by it. This means that Krishna existed before the creation. And we might be able to trace our lineage back. Okay, some people are very proud. You know, I've got my family line going back 200 years. I can trace my family all the way back to the time of Mahaprabhu, 18 generations back, like that. That's all well and good, but it's still here in the material world. But we see that Krishna, he is beyond the material creation. Before this was even started, Krishna existed. Very happily as Shamsundar playing his flute, enjoying with his cowherd boys, enjoying with his gopis, enjoying with his mother, enjoying with his cows. Nothing to do with any of this. Nothing to do with it. Not at all material. All of his pastimes are Prakriti Param. But nonetheless, he does come to this earth or into this material world when there is a time of need, when there is a request for pleasure, when he needs to save his devotees, maybe when he wants to have a little good fight, you know. Sometimes we see in this, you know, two good buddies, they, you know, get into it a little bit and maybe they have a little bit of a wrestling or, you know, what's arm wrestling or something, just to express that kind of mood. And Krishna has that too. That's why we've got it. So as we're reading in the daily Bhagavatam verse, the pastimes of the Kumaras and the pastimes of Jai and Vijay, how is it possible? Because Krishna had that mood. He wanted to have a little pleasure fighting with his devotees. Who can fight with Krishna? Nobody can fight with Krishna unless he arranges it. So this takes us back to the fourth chapter, verses 8. And of course, 9. Parichanaya saranam vinasaya chaduskritam dharma samstarpanataya sambhavani juge juge. His activities are to save the devotees, to engage with the devotees, and to kill the demons. He does them both at the same time. It's amazing how, you know, he's able to accomplish so many things with one activity. Now, but this is his real activity, to give pleasure, to give protection to the devotees. This is what he actually wants to do. As I mentioned, when Krishna appeared as Nrisingadev, why did he appear in that way? To save his devotee. All right, I'll kill the demon Hiranyakasipu. Actually, Prabhupada says on one lecture, after he finished Hiranyakasipu and Brahma was there with all the demigods, he chastised Brahma. He said, don't give benediction like this anymore. You caused me a lot of trouble. I had to think this way and that way, how to come and no, not here, and got to do that, you know. He says, well, don't do this anymore. So sometimes even Brahma gets the sauce. So this was, you know, his appearance just to save Prahlad Maharaj. And then, all right, this demon on the side. So why are we celebrating his appearance today? Because he was giving relief to Devaki, to Vasudev, to the Pandavas. We see that he came to save his devotee. They were all in great distress. You know, I think it was Dina Bandar Prabhu was mentioning how difficult it must have been for Vasudev and Devaki to sit there as he took these six children and killed them right before them, not able to do anything. Prabhupada says in the pastime of Prahlad Maharaj and Nrisingadev, he says that if someone is killing your father in front of you, you protest. No, no, stop, please. He says, but Prahlad Maharaj is garlanding the killer. So, you know, in this way, he's coming to give some relief. Devaki and Vasudev, such a difficult situation. All right, let me come to save them. The Pandavas, Kshatriyas, they would do the kingdom. And by some hook or crook, some trick, it was taken from them. So much suffering, go live in the forest, you know, incognito, live in a house that we're going to burn down and hope to kill you. Here, give some poison cake, all these different things that the demons did. So, all right, Krishna is there to protect him. They were all in great, great danger due to the Kamsena Kalena, the envious activities of Kamsa and all of his associates. The demons, they're not alone either, you know. They have their own followers, their own crew, we might say in our modern language, Kamsa and his boys. So, you know, Kamsa was sending every day another demon. All right, you go. Oh, he failed. No, 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 you go. Oh, but he failed. No, no, you go. No, but he, no, go. You know, so Kamsa is sending all of these demons. And one after another, Krishna is just dispatching them. You've come to disturb my Vrindavan pastimes. Finished with you. This is, Krishna protects his devotees in this way. I mean, what of identification, you know? Identification, you can just imagine. You know, you have this, we have this image of some club people are trying to get in or some restaurant that's very high on some list and there's a doorman there. No, you can't come in. Who are you? No, 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 you can't come in here. No, 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 it's okay. I'm a part of Kamsa's crew. Oh, you're with Kamsa. Sure, come right in. You know, so that we don't want to be identified as that, as Kamsa's crew. We want to be identified as Krishna's camp. So this is not the identification we want. As the saying goes, and Prabhupada used it many times, we're known by the company that we keep. So we want to associate with nice, sweet, soft-hearted, kind devotees. You know, those who want to come together like this and glorify Shamsundar, that want to come together like this and glorify Srila Prabhupada. This is the company that we want to keep, because that company is purifying. That company is liberating. That company actually delivers us. As I was saying just a minute ago, we want someone beyond where we're at. That company of such sadhus takes us to a better place than we are. So this is the importance of sadhu sangha. Similarly, the Pandavas, they were also in difficulty by the envious Dhritarashtra and company and his sons and Duryodhana and another crew we don't want to be identified with, right? We don't want to, oh, you're in that camp. Poor grandfather Bhishma, you know? He's a great devotee. He's one of the Mahajans. But by circumstance, he's identified as being part of that group. That's so difficult for him, because internally, he's the Lord's devotee. But externally, he's got this responsibility, this circumstance, you know. So we don't want to be identified like that. These are the very people that Krishna comes for. Vinasaya cha duskritam, to annihilate the miscreants. Who is a miscreant? A miscreant is someone who doesn't accept Krishna's supremacy. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. Someone that doesn't accept Krishna's supremacy. Actually, miscreant's too nice of a word. Miscreant's kind of like, oh, you're just a miscreant. I know, I'm sorry. You're a demon. That's a suitable word. If we're opposed to the establishing of Krishna's position, if we're opposed to Krishna's supremacy, then we're a demon. Prabhupada uses the word many times. As Prabhupada was departing this world, he said to some of his god brothers, you know, I sometimes spoke very harshly and used these words, rascal, demon, you know. But this was my preaching I had to do. So we want to be on the other side of the equation. Parittaraya sadhunam. Sadhu, the saintly persons. That's everyone in this room and all of our community. We're the saintly persons. We may not consider ourselves saintly, but if we take any one of us and look at the activities of any one of them, to use the phrase, we're saintly. All by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. We have no qualification. We have no ability. But by that association, we have also become sadhus. This is in the fourth chapter, eighth verse there. So that's the mission of Krishna, to save his honest devotees. And therefore, we have to be honest where we're at. This is part of association, knowing who to desire to be in the company of. Kunti talks about it verse after verse after verse in this chapter 8. This is what we have to be. We have to be studying about Krishna. We have to be studying about his transcendental activities. We have to know how he takes his birth and how he acts. Prabhupada says many, many occasions, we have to know his books just like a lawyer knows the law books. You know, sometimes you see this advertisement, you know, sum, sum, and sum, law firm, you know. And the man sitting there behind him is this massive wall of legal books. And a good lawyer knows what's in those, knows what's there. My brother was visiting me the other day, and he was looking at all the books I have. He said, so I have a question for you. I said, yeah. He said, have you read them all? So that's the question. Have we read them all? Prabhupada said one time, he said, these books are not simply for distributing. You must read them. And then he quoted a devotee being asked on the street. You know, he made this scenario. Oh, you're selling these books. Are you reading them? No, no, we don't read them. We only sell them. Prabhupada said, no, don't be like that. You must study my books. So Prabhupada says, if you study these two things of Krishna's appearance, then you'll become liberated. Just these two things. Why does Krishna come, and how does Krishna act? These are the two things we have to know to get free from this material circumstance, this prakriti that we find ourselves in. Prakriti param. He's not a living being like we are. We are the ones that are entangled here. So Prabhupada, of course, uses a perfect example of the prison. A person is in the prison, but he's also still a citizen. This is why prisoners have certain rights. You know, you can't do this, can't do, you know, whatever like that. You know, because they're still a citizen of the state. Person in the prison is not meant to be living in the prison. They're actually meant for living outside of the prison. But some way or another, as Prabhupada says, some way or another, through some criminal activity, which is what we've all done, some way or another, they've come in contact with the Justice Department, as Prabhupada says, and they're now put in the prison, where everything is restricted. Their movement is restricted, their food is restricted, their activity, everything is restricted. Now, when the governor or the king, depending on what time and place you live and what, you know, style of authority you live under, when they come to visit the prison, they're also in the prison. And they also have to ask, can you unlock that door so I could go through? You know, okay, now I want to go here, you know. But they're not a prisoner in the prison when they come. They're Purusha Prakriti. They're aloof, they're param, above that entangled prison situation. They're there, but they're not a part of it. At least in regards to the prison. They have their other Prakriti Purusha but they're entangled with, you know. But they're aloof from that prison confinement. This is Krishna's position in coming here to this material world. We are all the prisoners. We are restricted by this thing, by that thing. We do not have freedom of movement. You know, our abilities, everything is conditioned by this material world. But Krishna, he has no such restrictions. He just appears here in his full potency. And even when it may appear that he's doing something wrong by killing, Shrishta Upanishad, verse number 8, it mentions that Krishna is apapa vidham. He's not a criminal like others. He has no sinful activity. Everything we do, we have to be very careful that we're acting properly in accordance with the principles of being a human being, what to speak of acting as a sadhu. We don't want any pap. We don't want any sinful activity. Well, Krishna is apa. He has no sinful activity. He's not confined. He's not a criminal. He's above the system of judgment because he has created the system of judgment. Never touches him. No sinful activity ever touches him. Although it appears sometimes he may be doing something which is considered sinful, killing demons, dispatching, you know, personalities like that, still, it's not pop. It's not sinful activities. We simply have to understand this, and this is Krishna's position. And by that understanding, not just conversationally and, you know, I heard it in a class and therefore, you know, but when we understand it, then we become liberated from this world. Now, we've also come to the material world, but as I say, that's completely different. Krishna comes and we come. One comes by divine will, and the other comes by karmic reaction, by being bound with their activities, bound with the karma of what they've done in previous lives, previous births. So we both have come. We both have spiritual natures, but we're completely different. Now, Prabhupada gives another example, which is a very classic example we're all very familiar with, that we're very small spiritual spark. I was listening to Prabhupada very detailedly describe. You take the tip of the hair and then divide the tip of the hair to 1,000 pieces and then subdivide those 1,000 into 1,000, 1/10,000th the tip of a hair. Who can understand that? So that's the size of our spiritual identity. But Krishna, if that's our spark, but Krishna, he's the entire fire. And the fire and the sparks, They're both coming from the same place. Their quality is the same. They can burn, you know. It's a common, I think it's a requirement for a Purohit, a Homa priest, to have at least one burn in their dhoti. If you do a Homa and you don't have a burn in your dhoti, oh, you didn't have a big enough fire. You need a bigger fire. So the spark can do that. It's not the fire. If the whole fire fell in my lap, well, I'd be finished. But a little tiny spark pops off of the fresh cedar, whatever, lands on your dhoti, and now it's got a hole in it. So it becomes black. It becomes tarnished. It's because it's separated from the real fire. So Prabhupada mentions that we, the jiva, we fall down from the spiritual world. We come to this material world, and our spiritual quality becomes diminished. It's not totally extinguished, but it becomes diminished. We have to revive it. That's our purpose in coming here. That's our purpose in Sadhu Sangha. That's our purpose in Krishna Janmashtami celebration. Because we have to revive the spiritual connection that we originally had. And this is done by understanding Krishna Janma Karma Chame Divyam. Understanding, how did Krishna take his birth? What is Krishna's position? What are his activities? Now, there's an important part of this equation. The result. We are looking for a result. Anything we do, we want a result from that. You know, we're all working all week because we want a result, that paycheck at the end of the week. We get in the car and we drive 8 hours because we want the result. We get to our destination. We're very result-oriented. So when we understand all these points here, what happens? Well, what happens is that we become very, very connected to Krishna. When the cooks are in the kitchen working so very, very, very hard, and I don't know how many of you have popped into the kitchen in the midst of a feast preparation, and it's very, very hot in there. They're working over the stove and these big brazier ovens, and you know, and they're completely ecstatic. But you know when they're more ecstatic? When they see the smiling faces of all the devotees enjoying the prasadam that they've prepared and offered to the Lord. Then they become very, very happy. So in that same way, what happens when we actually understand Janma Karma Chame Divyam? Krishna says what happens in the next verse, fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10. Vitarajabaya krodha manmayamamopashrita bahavo gyanatapasya. When we become purified, we again revive that spiritual quality. Then we become madbhava agata. Such a devotee comes back to my nature. Such a devotee who's become purified, who has practiced sadhana, who has associated with sadhus, who has celebrated Krishna Janmasi, that devotee comes back to Krishna's nature. That's the result. And this is the process. Something to do, the result of that, and then we're very, very satisfied. Now, the next point's very interesting. We think, oh, no, this is so hard to do. I can't possibly be successful at it. You know, we have a standard of very, very advanced devotees, some within our own community, some in other places in ISKCON, some beyond. And we think, oh, that's too hard. I can't be like that. It's just not possible. But actually, Krishna says, it's not so difficult. In this 10th verse, Krishna says, he gives us a caveat. We always look for the caveats, right? You got a legal contract, you look down, what's the fine print? How can I get out of this, right? You order something online, you want to see what's the return policy. Because I may not like it. It may not satisfy me. I don't want it around if it doesn't, you know? So what is the caveat? Krishna uses the word bhavam, many. And he doesn't use the word once. He uses it twice. Many, many. Now, if there's many, many, that means it's not so difficult, not so complicated. You know, it means we can do it. Many, many persons have done it. You can be one of them. Yes, you also. Many, many people. Now, we look here and there's many, many people. You know, so, okay, we can all do it. That means we're all able to do it. Because by nature, we're already spiritual. We've simply been diminished by our contact with the material energy. When that spark falls out of the fire and lands on my dhoti, it burns that hole, but then it's done. The material energy, the contact with the dhoti has put it out. So our spiritual qualities are already there. They're permanent. Aham Brahmasmi. We're spiritual by nature. That Brahman quality is already there within us. It's not something we have to develop. It's not something we have to attain. It's not something. It's not like there's something new and awakening to us. We just have to remove the non-Brahman covering. We have to give up that contact with the material nature. When Mahaprabhu was instructing Rupa Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila, chapter 19, particularly verse 170, Sarvapati Vinir Muktam, that covering, so-called non-Brahman designation. We have so many designations, Prabhupada explains this. We're thinking, I'm an Indian, I'm an American, I'm a Brahmin, I'm a Sudra, I'm this, I'm that. These are all actually just the coverings. We're actually Aham Brahmasmi. We're not any of these coverings. Krishna is Brahman, but he's Parabrahman. He's the topmost. We depend on him. He does not depend on us. Now, Krishna wants us to return to him, to return to his service. Prabhupada said, it's not that he is in need of a servant. Please apply within one servant requested. Following qualifications are needed. You know, that's not how Krishna is. Krishna has so many servants. But we actually depend on him. Therefore, we want to go back to him. Krishna is perfectly satisfied. You know, he misses us, but his life isn't diminished any by our leaving. There's that famous verse from the Katha Upanishad. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitanam eko bahunam yo viridati kamam. He is the singular number. We are the plural number. He's the singular living entity, and we are the plural living entity. He can exist without us. We cannot exist without him. And this is the explanation at the very beginning of the Bhagavatam, Janmadhyasayataha, that the Supreme Absolute Truth is the original source of all creation. This is where we need to be reconnected with. Everything that we see, all the matter, all life, everything is coming from him, including ourselves. Therefore, we depend upon him. We need him. So this is a little bit of the understanding about these two points. How Krishna appears and why Krishna appears, what he does. As Prabhupada notes, he appears by his divine desire and by his own choice. And this is, of course, hugely different than our appearance by the force of mundane karma and material activities, material desires that brought us here. So it's always important when we discuss Krishna's lila, Krishna's pastimes, to have some philosophical understanding, to try and appreciate the details. My brother also asked me the other day when he was visiting, he said, so when you were inquiring about everything, what did you find in the Bhagavad Gita that you didn't find in the Bible? That's very hard to tell someone that in front of them. But what we found is that everything is explained there of our spiritual nature. The philosophy is in detail. You don't find so much deep philosophy like this in other religious traditions. You know, offer our respects to them. Prabhupada said they're all devotees. We have no problem with that. But Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada called it the postgraduate study, Chaitanya Charitamrita. So these are the things that are necessary for us to understand before we enter into understanding Krishna's pastimes. And with that being said, I'd like to talk about one of Krishna's pastimes. Now, right now, of course, it's very, very hot. the weather is just off the charts, hot and humid. This is, you know, summertime in Alachua. It's like this every year. Why are we all still here? Why are we living in this place? That's why, right there, Radha Shyam Sundar. Otherwise, what's the point? This is why, Sadhu Sangha. So let's look at a winter pastime. So one day, Krishna decided to take his cowherd boyfriends and go to Kamardavan. Now this was, of course, the pretext for meeting with Srimati Radharani at a scheduled place which was far away from the observant eyes of the elders. Now one might ask in this regards, how did Radha and Krishna know where to meet on what particular day? Well, the explanation is given that Dinishta Gopi was dutifully engaged daily by Jasoda Mai in serving Krishna his breakfast, sometimes serving his lunch. And when she would come before him to serve, Krishna would very clandestine-like reach out and touch one of her toes. And each toe represented a different meeting place. So he would touch such and such toe, and Dinishta knew, oh, okay. So she would go back to report to Radha and her gopis, today we're meeting Krishna at such and such place. Anyway, just a little side note, how they knew where to meet all the time. So as the winter air was quite chilly, and those of us that have been in Vrindavan during the winter months, I mean, I can only speak of just a couple. I mean, Pundarik lived there for years and years and years. He knows what it's like to be cold in Vrindavan. Of course, now every room has hot water and heat. I remember many, many years ago when I was with Komarupa in Vrindavan, oh, this would have been like the early, mid-80s, he said to me once, he said, I don't know why everyone complains there's no hot and cold water in Vrindavan. In the summertime, it's very hot, and in the wintertime, it's very cold. Of course, now everybody's got accommodations. At any rate, so the cowherd boys, they would carry these very thick shawls. That they're almost like a blanket. Very, very warm. I had one given to me, and they're very, very comfortable in the cold weather. Now, sometimes due to sensitivities to the cold air, the cows would also wear these thick blankets. And they're decorative, very, very nice. We have experience in the Chaitanya Charitamrita of decorative blankets. Sanatana Goswami with that very fancy blanket, very renounced, but he had this blanket. It was a gift. He didn't go out and buy it. Prabhupada says one time, he mentions about his disciples staying in fancy hotel. He uses the Ashok Hotel at the time. That was a fancy hotel. And I ask, why you have... Oh, my father has paid for me. So here, the blankets are quite nice. So as the boys are resting, the cows are grazing. They're one of their favorite spots. So Krishna takes his blanket and he tells his friends, I'm going to go off and see the beauty of the forest. So he made his way to the site where he was going to meet with Radharani. And once he arrived there, he took his blanket and laid it down on a rock, because the rocks by nature are cold. So he put it on the rock to sit in the warm sun and wait. As he waited, he contemplated the beautiful scenery of the forest, because he told the cowherd boys he was going to do that, so he did. Of course, Radharani was late. I've done my fair share of weddings. It's not at all uncommon for a bride to be late. Matter of fact, I think it's required. I don't know, but it seems to happen quite regularly. Some weddings, the bride says, no, I'm on time, At any rate, so Radha was late. And as Krishna's waiting, he got up from the stone and he's repeatedly pacing back and forth and waiting for, and where is she? And, you know, I mean, what's he going to do otherwise? But at any rate, this is just the pastime. So he hears Radha coming and he sees her over in the near distance. So he goes to greet her, not thinking his blanket. He leaves the blanket there. So he goes to greet her and, you know, he knew, what do I need the blanket for? The warmth of Srimati Radharani's love will keep me comfortable. So after the leela's finished, Krishna looked around. Where's my blanket? I brought a blanket. Did I leave it here? Did I leave it there? What happened to my blanket? So he asked the gopis, said, have you seen my blanket? I'm looking for my blanket. Now, the gopis always like a good chance to tease Krishna. So understanding the circumstance, they began their teasing. One gopi said, oh, I saw a strong gust of wind blow it out into the Jamuna. Now it's gone forever. You'll never see it. And then another one said, no, that's not what happened. I don't think that one was Krishna's. I think that on the way here, I saw cows. They were chewing on something. That must have been Krishna's blanket they were chewing on. And the gopis were all laughing. With each idea, each identification, they would all laugh. And this was not amusing Krishna at all. He liked that blanket. It was a gift to him from Mother Jasoda. So he dismissed the girls and went off, and he went back to the rock he'd been sitting on, thinking, oh, maybe I left it on that rock. So we went back there. When he arrived at that rock, he saw the great sage, Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni was standing next to that rock with his matted locks, his loincloth, and very fondly holding the beautiful blanket he had just found laying amongst the rocks. So Krishna offered his respects to the exalted Brahman, Ho Brahmana. And the sage nodded to him in return. Devasa said, oh, son of Nanda Maharaj, is this by chance your blanket? And Krishna said, oh, Muni, it was mine until it came to you. It is my duty to distribute wealth and charity to the Brahmanas. But aside from transcendental knowledge, I could never accept any gift from a Brahmana. This is a very key point. It's not part of the pastime, but it's a very key point. Krishna says, I can't accept anything from a Brahmana except transcendental knowledge. And this is what the exchange is. We're getting transcendental knowledge from the Sadhu Sangha. We don't want to take from them. So Krishna says, except for accepting transcendental knowledge, I can't take any gift from you. Therefore, now this blanket belongs to you. Please do with it as you wish. My respects unto you. All glories to you, saintly Brahmana. And Durvasa was very, very pleased with this gift from Krishna. And he understood, Durvasa Muni understood, that simply by wearing it, he would be freed from the endless cycle of birth and death. Simply by wearing this blanket. Now, Rupa Goswami quotes this in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion. He quotes Uddhava as saying, simply by decorating ourselves with the garlands, oils, clothes, and sacred ornaments that you have enjoyed, my Lord, and by eating the remnants of your prasadam, we will indeed conquer the illusory energy. So this is the example we have from Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni has some very questionable pastimes once in a while, but in this particular circumstance, he understood, oh, this was Krishna's. He's given it to me. It's Mahaprasadam. I'm going to be greatly benefited by wearing it because this was the mood given us by Rupa Goswami. So in light of all these statements that we've discussed, I'd like to close as we're getting close to the Abhishek time, the Abhishek Muhurta. So in light of all these, I'd like to close with the verse that we can all embrace as our meditation for today. Oh, do you see how nice this Snanvedi is with the lights on it? This is all the doing of Indradumna Prabhu. He's the expert at this. Wow, how beautiful. So a verse that we can all use as our meditation today. Actually, why not for our entire lives? It's from the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, this chapter, verse 8, chapter 8, verse 36. Srinvanti gayanti grinanti abhikshanam smaranti nandanti tavehitam jana ta eva pashyanti achirena tavakam bhava pravaha paramam padam bhujam. O Krishna, those who continually hear, chant, and repeat your transcendental activities or take pleasure in others doing so certainly see your lotus feet, which alone can stop the repetition of birth and death. So very, very important. We may not be able to continuously hear, chant, and repeat the Lord's pastimes, but if we take pleasure in others doing, we also get that benefit. So once again, O Krishna, those who continuously hear, chant, and repeat your transcendental activities, or take pleasure in others doing so, certainly see your lotus feet, which alone can stop the repetition of birth and death. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for this opportunity to share this little bit of information. Hare Krishna. And now we'll prepare for the Abhishek, the Pujaris, and I believe Badahari Prabhu will lead us in wonderful bhajans. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, I forgot to mention a very important person to say thank you, Sharad Bihari Prabhu and her family, that they are always very encouraging and generous. Hare Bol.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Om Buddha-le.